A musical adventure. New artists, new musicians, and everyone involved in the world of music. Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee, this is J-Rod Concerts, the podcast, with your host, Jamie Rodriguez. Let's find out what we have this episode.
I don't want to be the one that scares you guys, but we are almost in April of 2024. It seems like beyond comprehension that a quarter of the year has flown by. So I hope you guys are having a great time. The good news is music season, festival season is really popping up and it's going to be great. I hope you guys are planning some good stuff. We got obviously a lot on J-Rod Concerts Media on the books. So stay tuned for that via our newsletter, jrodconcertsmedia.com, and our socials at J-Rod Concerts Media. Now, today's guest, ladies and gentlemen, was one of our favorite interviews at South by Southwest 2024. Just an incredible band. They are taking over the world by storm. Incredible reputation as a live, you know, trailblazing band. Their name is Bleach Lab. They are from the UK. They're from London. And last year, they released an incredible album called Lost in a Rush of Emptiness. The title, which was taken from Leonard Cohen's posthumous collection, The Flame. And the band is just incredible. You know, it includes Jenna Kyle, Josh Longman, you know, and everybody, Karen Watson and Frank Waits. And it's just an incredible band. We urge everyone to kind of get on their boat because they are about to blow up. They remind me a lot of when we talked to Wet Leg a few years ago at South By, and we just knew where they were going. We know where this band is going, and we are so glad we got a great chat with them. We talked about really interesting stuff like connections in today's world, leaving toxic relationships behind, the genesis of the band. So we hope you guys enjoyed this phenomenal conversation with Bleach Lab live at South by Southwest. Guys, so excited to like have you guys here.
Thank you for having us.
We have been in a Bleach Lab kind of binge for the past 2 weeks. I feel like basically I'm
Bleach Lab. Awesome.
But yeah, guys, I mean, you guys, I was watching some video of you guys performing at Scala and some other stuff. And the first thing that came, like, that jumped out was, like, your incredible live performances and the stage that you guys get in. And especially, and you, all of you guys. Is it easy to do that, like, on an everyday basis when you're on tour? I'm just curious, like, if you're having, like, a bad day, like, how do you just transform and kind of break that wall with the audience, like, you guys?
It's really hard. It's like a split personality thing. How I say, like, I think I sort of separate being on stage from day to day, for sure. And yeah, it's like getting into the zone. I'd sort of take a bit of time to myself before the show to like hype myself up a little bit. But yeah, I think as a person, I'm possibly quite different from like how I present on stage. But yeah, it's just getting into the mindset and like enjoying what we're playing, and just like vibing on from each other as well.
Yeah, we just take every sort of persona of just how we got used to dealing with getting on stage.
Sure.
And little pre-gig rituals in the background and little things that get us into that mindset. And as soon as we got like a walk-on song sometimes, and that really triggers things, that helps us just know what we're doing, get into the mood. And then it just all goes so fast, a bit of a chance to think about it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like an hour set feels like 10 minutes, and then, you know, 30 minutes is like, you don't,
yeah. Yeah.
You might as well just let himself have fun, but.
Yeah, I think it has taken a while to sort of get there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
sure,
we've been playing sort of like the, I mean, us for like 3 years, and then obviously with Lewis joining. I think at the start it was quite tough, but I think after doing it for so long, you just get to know everything about sort of each other's stage presence. It's all very like natural now.
Yeah.
After doing
it, becomes more of a comfort zone.
Yeah.
Than it was.
But I don't think it's anything even affects that whole idea of getting on stage. I think it's just something that just gradually progresses with you. I think, you know, if you do 1,000 more shows, I'm sure it'll be different to what we look like now, and 1,000 more will look different to that one. I think it'll just be, you know.
100%.
Yeah, for sure. Guys, I mean, your latest album is so good. I think I've Counting on Empties now. And I wanted to ask you guys about that song specifically because, you know, you guys, I think you guys touch on very deep subjects with your songwriting. And I think that one specifically, I mean, there's a few, but that one touches about like how hard it is to connect, I think. And I know this is like a loaded question, obviously, but, you know, you guys are at the forefront of it and you guys talk about it. Why do you think it's like so hard nowadays to just like have like a meaningful connection? You know,
I
think there's connection is so like abundant in everyone's life.
Yeah.
With social media and everything like this, like we're always connected to everything, which
yeah,
I think in turn makes it harder to then form those deep bonds.
Yeah.
I think that's what I mean, Joffrey.
Yeah. Found.
Like bounce off of you, so like people like to put their, so like social media is like almost like a fake life and people like to portray the best parts themselves. And to go deep and like maybe look into things that maybe, you know, are a bit more meaningful isn't as attractive to others sometimes. And I think that could be a part.
Like to be vulnerable or something.
Yeah, I think people don't like to see that. You know, like Instagram, you want to show you, oh, this is what I do, this is the best thing ever. But mate, behind the scenes, we're dealing with a lot of stuff. So.
Yeah, and I think sort of on with social media, I think shallow connections are what is sort of encouraged. So then when it comes to, you know, having those connections in real life, you know, we get used to having connections that last like 10 seconds on a TikTok video, which then might make it way harder to then, you know, talk to someone for an hour and really get to the deep stuff because you're used to it just going by and being so quick.
Yeah.
But also writing these meaningful sort of songs of ours are, it's about life experiences that we've had ourselves. It's almost like a cathartic experience to write these. So it wasn't more of trying to get an intense reaction from fan base as much as it was from us just releasing what we have to say.
Absolutely. Jenna, let me ask you about something. You've been really spoken about, you know, breaking free from a toxic relationship in this album. You know, it's great. Very raw. So, Renny, I mean, you really bring it forward. And so kudos to you for putting yourself out there. But I wanted to ask you, you know, I think it's very inspiring because I think a lot of us are in very toxic situations. And you're kind of like talking about that when you're like in between the fear, but the growth that comes on the other side. What have you learned from that? From just like being in that place for a minute where you were uncertain and now light has come out?
Yeah, I think as sort of Josh said, we use our lyric writing and I've always used mine as like a cathartic process. And I think I've learned that I can trust myself, like, and trust my judgment a little bit more. Because I've always been one to like doubt my own perception of people and like my judgment and stuff like that. And I think just like getting it all down and writing it and turning it into like a song is, you know, it allows me to see myself as more of like a somebody that I can listen to, like, do you know what I mean? Like separate myself from my personal experiences to the songs that I write. And I can listen and like, yeah. I don't know, I let you know that like when you listen to other people's lyrics that inspire you, makes you feel understood and like heard and stuff, and being able to like do that for my own emotions and feelings and experiences, it's like it validates them to me a little bit more. And just, yeah, what I've learned from it is, yeah, just to trust that judgment a little bit more on people and like, and my perception of like my situation.
Sure. So. Is that one of the most beautiful things about being in a band? The fact that like you guys, yeah, you guys are seeing the crowds grow and the, you know, the BBC and all that good stuff. But most importantly, seeing you guys as like souls kind of like evolve and like kind of like just become better souls, more givers, all that good stuff. Is that like part of like the beauty of being in a band?
Yeah, I think it's amazing. Like having seen sort of like Jenna's lyrics from the start to then sort of being able to open up to songs like off the album, like Smile for me. Like I think just having that sort of relationship with someone where they're happy to come to you with those like lyrics or something as meaningful as that, and Jenna sort of says, I've written this, guys. I'm like, having that like relationship, I think, is really incredible. And like you have to, as I say, like build that up over years. And I think now we're in a really solid space where that's easy and easy to do. I think that's great.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And we also like we have quite a lot of really meaningful conversations with fans and stuff about a lot of our lyrics, like Counting Empties and Smile for Me and stuff.
True.
And it's really rewarding in a way to hear that people can relate and understand. Obviously it's like not nice things necessarily to like need to relate about, but yeah, the conversations that we have, especially at post show fans, is always like so meaningful.
Yeah.
with
the growing fan base, it's one of my favorite thing is when you get to meet some of these people at the end of the show face to face, and just how the music has helped them, what's happened to them, how they see it. And it's just interesting to see what road they take, what path they took from that, and where it takes them. So yeah, it's nice to see that as well.
Well, I think, you know, last week when I was doing research and stuff, I think that's what jumped out. You know, I remember I was driving back to Nashville from Knoxville, whatever, and I had that breakthrough. I'm like, man, Bleach Lab,
you guys have a bright future, not only because the hooks and you guys are fucking awesome live and shit, but because you are like a tool of giving. Like you're a tool, like, and I think that's one of like your beautiful purposes as a man, you know? Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
No, yeah, absolutely. Guys, and the story, you know, you say this at every interview, but for my audience, I'd love to know the genesis of the band. I know you came later.
Not
much later.
No.
Yeah. I came later. Yeah.
No, wait, thank you. So you started it?
No, I'm the newest member. Yeah.
Just you?
It's been through a fair few iterations. That this is the final one.
Yeah.
But
the evolution.
Yeah.
Pretty.
Yeah. You're out.
So start off with me and we had our ex guitarist Frank, and we found an ad on Gumtree, and the band we joined seemed like it wasn't going to work with what we with our visions and our ideas. So we just walked away and started our own project pretty straight away.
Yeah,
so we realized, okay, I think what we're doing is quite different to what they want to do. And straight away, like, oh, right, we need a singer. What's going on? And I knew Jenna from college. So I think I know someone that would fit the ideas that we have. So I gave Jenna a call, and that week that came down and tried out, and it just worked really well. And then, you know, famously,
how do you know it worked really well?
It just feels.
It's a feedback.
It's weird because me and Frank had quite a strong vision of what we wanted the sound to be early on. It was like just about the influences we were picking up on, and just things that weren't really, people weren't playing as much. We loved the 90s music scene and what to take aspects of that and apply it in modern setting. And as soon as Jenny came in, it just sort of felt right.
Yeah.
And being on the back of another band in the past and thinking when things felt like it worked and coming into this and just hear it all come together, it's like, wow, like how quick can this vision come together? And since then, I've been through a string full of drummers later.
All joking aside, like when you're like trying out or something, like is there like some, I don't want to say the word pressure, but it's like, okay, like, you know, like let me kind of bring my egg into this.
There was, I remember actually the day I was going to the first rehearsal audition, I guess.
Yeah.
I was working in a pub at the time, and I finished and just sort of had the songs that I'd never played them on a kit before I went in. I just had them on headphones. I was sat like drawing on the table. So yeah, that rehearsal was the first time I played them. But I think, well, obviously went well enough to. And yeah, it just felt, I think, right, as Josh said.
Like I said, having a clear visual of what we wanted, it's like visualizing something into how exactly you want it. And I know the second you hear it that's what it is. Because that's just what we had in mind. It's hard to explain how it felt right, but we knew what we wanted. And I think that's what helped.
Well, I mean, I think you guys, however you would describe the chemistry of Bleach Lab right now, that's fucking perfect. You know, because even you, like, everyone is just like, it's just like the perfect chemistry right now.
It also seemed quite, it all came together very quickly, very seamless, and it didn't really feel like we had to really shoehorn anything or force something to work. It just felt, we just wanted to ease off. Do we all get along? That's the main thing. And
I think everyone has like a job and they do it really well in this band. Like I think case in point, when Lewis was kind of joining after sort of the our ex-guitarist left, we actually tried like me on guitar a little bit and Lewis on drums.
Yeah, that was what the first rehearsal audition was like. It was the other way around.
I wanted to be a friend.
Yeah.
but yeah, we tried it and I think aside from doing some absolute clangers, you called it like a garage band where you're just pressing all the rock. I don't like that. Like when I think when we switched and then like lucky and like Lewis is obviously a great musician. Lewis was able to just jump on the guitar, be back on drums. That just it feeling of like okay, this is it.
Yeah. Again, like we were saying, it just I think in that rehearsal when you know when I was on guitar and you was on drums, like it just immediately felt. It just felt very natural as well. And I think, like, for me coming in, you know, about a year ago where so many of these songs were already, you know, already created, it was really nice as well because I feel like everyone sort of let me still put my own spin on things. But it's also, it's the way that these songs were written, you know, before I was in the band, is it's just like the way that I naturally play guitar anyway, which is, I think, for me, why coming into this band, like, felt so natural because it's, even though I didn't write these guitar parts, like now that I've played them so much, it sort of feels like I did, if that makes sense, because it's just very similar to the way that I played guitar anyway, and I say I put in my own spin on it a little bit.
Yeah, like I think Lewis coming in, it was very important for us that it wasn't just like play exactly
session or
chord.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's never the intention of like this band. I think Lewis is like an incredible guitarist. He was able to just come in, learn. I mean, you learned some of the songs in that first rehearsal,
yeah,
you know, a couple of hours. I literally messaged him. I said, actually, while when we're there, let's try a few with you on guitar. You're like,
yeah, because I was going to this rehearsal with, and the idea was that, yeah, like we mentioned, I was going to play drums and Kieran was going to switch over to guitar. Yeah.
When I told this, yeah. We were told we were trying to audition a guitar player.
Yeah.
Yes. And I remember, yeah, and it was
I've been speaking. Yeah. Yeah.
One shot.
Yeah. But it was literally like a few hours before the rehearsal, Kieran texted me being like, oh, actually, just learn a few of the songs on guitar anyway. So I was like, cool, okay.
That's trying to bet.
Yeah. But it worked out very well. Yeah.
I guess the best chemistry.
But it's also one of those things where like everyone's got their role, but at the same time, you're incredible on drums. You're putting yourself down, but you're very good at guitar as well. We both share lyric ideas and melody ideas and things. That goes back to this whole idea of now we trust each other and everything's the style we play and want to do anyway. We're on the same page, same vision.
Yeah.
That we can just have each other parts. We like, or come up to a table with an idea about infringing or, you know, it's just,
oh, yeah,
we try every aspect we can. There's an idea, we look into every idea. And yeah, just it feels fun doing it. Doesn't feel like, oh, this guy's tell me to play this though. It's like, man,
yeah,
it's just, we will try out, play the best song we can.
Fantastic. Well, guys, you guys have a busy week, so let me leave you with this. It looks like this is like real, like TikTok mega bad in the US. Like, it's actually like almost like law. Does that make it in a way? Because I've had this conversation this week, and that seems to be the thinking that people are just like, it's cool. Like, we can just focus on the art now. Like, we don't need so much BS right now. Like, how. Do you guys even think about that at all? I mean, because your art speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm. You know? About like how...
Yeah, and just like social media and all that stuff. It seems like we're like at a turning
point. Yeah.
It's a really difficult like topic, isn't it? Because it's essential for like growth and stuff like that in a sense. And I think it's expected and it can be fun. So.
Well, I think there's really seems to be like a breaking point, this South by. It seems like that's one of the themes. People are just like, it's cool.
Yeah. I mean, we try our best, don't we? But it... In no means, like, although we're sort of encouraged to go like make plus or something, like, in no way defines like us as a ballad. I think we just try our best.
It's about all our content, from music to social media to even music videos and everything in between. It's about being authentic. And if we got to follow a TikTok trend,
it doesn't
suit our style. It's just, we're not going to force ourselves to do so because it's popular or going viral. That's just like, so we'd rather just do things we think suit us, and we're not going to try and chase everything on these social medias. It's about, would we post this anyway?
We're on the other side of 25 as well, so we're like a little bit slow with, we're not in keeping with all the trends. Like, I don't really know what's going on.
Oh yeah, you're Asian, the other side.
You said that.
I'm not in on the trends. I don't know what you're doing.
I totally hear you. I just hired like a 21-year-old and I'm like, tell me what. Well, guys, you guys have said it all. Leech Lab, man, just thank you for all you do. Thanks for your message. So excited for your future because it's very powerful what you guys have.
Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Jeremy,
great. Thanks for having us.
You have been listening to J-Rod Concerts, the podcast. Thank you for tuning in.